Please remain standing as we hear from the story of our superhero Jesus, as we hear from the gospel. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Now, I'm sure you've noticed around the church since Easter time, we've had the Stations of the Cross, which have been placed around the church. And they're painted by the nuns of Turvey Abbey in London. Now, I absolutely love their liturgical art. It's been on the front of covers of some of our orders of service. The star that's on our order of service today is one of their works of art. Now, one of the things that I've done, and this is why they do these paintings as a form of liturgical art for use on audiovisuals and Stations of the Cross, but another way they can be used, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass them around, is if you pass it around, they intend their pictures to be used as an aid to prayer. And if you take time to look at the pictures carefully, something new always seems to jump out of them, I find. Now, one of the things that really comes across, I think, especially in the one of Mary and the Annunciation, is the sense of awe that she must have felt, how overwhelmed she must have felt. And I've often thought about, how did Mary feel and how did she cope with everything that was coming her way at that time? An angel, Gabriel, had come to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she must have asked herself, was it a dream? What am I here hallucinating? How can this be? And this is the question that rests on so many of our hearts, not just at Christmas, when we hear the story of Mary and of Joseph and of the angels and of the shepherds and the virgin birth, as we will this evening at the carol service. But we also think about it when at other times of the year. How can it be that God comes to the world to save it? How can it be that God can come to us and make a difference to us and through us to others? Now, we know what the angel says to Mary. The angel said to her, God is pleased with you and you will have a son. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible for God. Now, I don't know what you find the most impressive about the Christmas story. There are many things to choose after all. But for me, one of the most impressive things is what happens at the end of our gospel reading this morning when Mary responds, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What faith she had. What incredible trust. But not Mary. Not only Mary. She asks the question, how can this be? But she's really ready to receive the answer, to respond to the answer that nothing is impossible for God. And the reason why I say not only for Mary, because that message is very important for us at this time of year. We have a lot going on. There's all sorts of things happening in the world. It can be in all the madness and busyness of Christmas and all the news that we're hearing, it can seem overwhelming. It can seem as if there is no hope for the future. But Mary believed. And if we think about it, at that point in her life, we would think in human terms, and oftentimes in human terms, we think of somebody being able to change the world, they have to be powerful, they have to be a politician, they have to be able to fly to Brussels at a moment's notice. That's what we think of as power. But Mary has everything going against her at that stage. Her age, her inexperience, her gender, even her marital status make for her, in human terms, to seem completely powerless. But what she has going in her favor is the love of God. And we have the same. And do we also have the other things that Mary had in her favor? Her willingness to allow herself to be the servant of the Lord. Her willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon her. Her willingness to believe that, yes, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And answering the yes to God's call might not be easy. So there are many things to ponder. But Mary is able to make that leap of faith and to go ahead with God. And know, even despite sometimes the evidence being to the contrary, and sometimes life is really hard and really difficult and really challenging, but to still believe, Emmanuel, God is with us. We are called to go out from this place. And especially as tonight, a lot of people from around our community will come into this parish church. Tonight, and as we go from this place, we are called to carry that light out into the wider world to make a difference. And not only to be thinking of making a difference in terms of politicians and power and jets that fly all over the world and things like that, but to think in terms of power as the small things that matter, praying for someone, encouraging someone, a few encouraging words to say, something positive to share with someone, walking alongside each other. Those are the things that change the world. If each person throughout the world does one small thing, just imagine the power of the change that could happen. So when we feel overwhelmed and that we are in our small little corner and there's nothing that we can do, let us believe as Mary did, that nothing is impossible for God. And I finish with the words from Isaiah, my favorite prophet. I had a colleague in the Methodist Church who used to say to me, he only listened when people came and told him about things. He only listened to good news prophets like Isaiah. He wasn't interested in bad news prophets. But the truth about, I mean, if you read Isaiah, there is some pretty heavy stuff, but there's also amazing hope and joy. And this is one of the eternal readings. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.